thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time each week. And again, we count it our privilege to be able to spend this time with you. We hope that you have your Bibles open as we continue our Bible study now. We're over here in the book of Revelation chapter 20, down here to the great white throne judgment. If you remember this now as we recapitulate just a second, that the first resurrection included several parts. First, we had when Christ was resurrected, according to 1 Corinthians 15. He is the first fruits of them that rose from the dead. Then we find out in the book of Matthew also, we had some Old Testament saints after Christ's resurrection. They were resurrected as a testimony of the power of God to raise the dead. And then we came on and found out that the rapture took place at the end of this church age. In fact, that's the next event. If you're listening now, Jesus Christ is coming again. Then the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those Christians who have died, they went on to be with the Lord. Their soul and spirit has the real them, but their body went to the grave. You may have been to the funeral of many people. Maybe some of your relatives and so forth. Maybe some of them were Christians. Well, they're not in that body anymore, but when Christ comes, they'll have a resurrected body, and they'll have a body that'll never be sick again, a body that'll never see sorrow, never be sinful. And what a glorious that is, the consummation of your salvation, the rapture. And then the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, chapter 11 of the book of Revelation. There are two witnesses that witness for Christ. In the middle of the tribulation, they are killed. Their bodies lie 3.5 days in the streets of the, spiritually, it decayed to the point of Sodom. It was the capital, Jerusalem. And they have a resurrection. And then 3.5 years later after that, the end of that 7-year tribulation period, we have the resurrection of the Old Testament saints, the tribulation saints that were martyred and killed, and they are going to live also in the 1,000-year millennial reign when Christ rules this earth for 1,000 years. That completes the first resurrection, has several parts in it. The first resurrection contains all saved. The second resurrection now takes place after Christ reigns 1,000 years. Satan is let loose, goes out for his final rebellion against God, and convinces a lot of people, even though they were here on the earth with Jesus Christ, perfect peace, perfect environment, yet in their hearts they did not accept Christ as their Savior. They are lost, and they will follow Satan. Fire comes down from heaven and devours them, according to verse 9 of Revelation chapter 20. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And then Satan is cast into the lake of fire. We're coming to the great white throne judgment. We come here now, and we'll pick it up here in verse 11 and 12 here, and verse 13, and then we'll discover what these two books are that God has kept a record of. He knows you inside and out if you're listening. He knows every thought that you're thinking. He knows every deed that you have ever done. There, you may have gotten away with it on this earth, but God knows everything, and everything you've done is recorded. So let's read it here in verse 11 to 13. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face of the earth the heaven fled away. There was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So you see, this is the lost now. All at this judgment, only the lost are here, small and great. It could be a president of a country. It could be the Tsar of Russia. It could be the queen or the king of a foreign country. It doesn't make any difference. Down through the years, there have been many, many presidents, many kings, many czars, so forth. And whoever they might be, if they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're going to be at this judgment. So it didn't matter what they achieved on the earth. It means absolutely nothing to God. You see, you go to heaven only if your sin is paid for. And the only person qualified to pay for your sin is not you, because you're the sinner. If you choose to pay for your sin, you have to pay for it in hell, not heaven. You have to pay for it there. But God loved you, and the only person qualified to pay for sin is someone who has not sinned. And that is God Himself took on human flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross, paid for your sin, so you would be passed from that payment yourself and passed from death unto life. Death of hell unto life heaven, because of what Christ did for you. But now we come. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. It's not works whether you go to heaven or hell. They are one step away from hell now, getting ready to be judged to go into hell because of their not putting their faith in Jesus Christ. According to the degrees of punishment for all time and eternity now, 10 trillion billion years, is going to be judged on the degrees of punishment. The same thing, the great white throne judgment is to the lost as the judgment seat of Christ is to the Christian. You see, when we become a Christian, from that point on, when we become a Christian, at that point, we are brand new as far as a new creation with God. Old things are passed away, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away, all things become new. But then the rest of our life, from the time we become a Christian until the time we die or the rapture comes, we have to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ for what we did with our life. And we're either going to suffer a loss of rewards, which we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In fact, that judgment begins there in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. If any man build upon this foundation, this is the Christian's judgment now. If you build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, that represents the good things that you do in this life after you're a Christian. You lead other people to Christ, you're faithful to your church, you're faithful to the Lord, you're faithful to use your talents that God gave you for the Lord. You're not one of these homesteaders pouting and pewing around and living your life off as excuses. Those are going to suffer loss of rewards. Yes, we find in verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So when our life is done, and after the rapture, we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we're rewarded there for the things we've done in our body, whether it be good or bad. But in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, yet he himself shall be saved, shall still be saved. So, we have a judgment, and we have to face Jesus Christ personally as a Christian for the things we've done after that we are saved. There's going to be a lot of embarrassed Christians for wasting their life that God so graciously has given them. But now we're at the great white throne judgment and the lost. Now, there are lost people who are nice people. There are lost people that do anything in the world for you. There are lost people that are some of the best neighbors you'd ever want to have living beside you. They would help you. They're friendly. They're kind. They're nice. Sociably, they know how to act. You get in some of these little small towns in some places, and the people literally are socially delinquent. They don't know how to act socially. You'll wave at them or say something to them. It's unbelievable. They'll stare at you. They've never been taught manners. You don't stare. They'll just sit there and stare at you. They're probably one of the most impolite things you can ever do. But you get in some places where they've born and raised in a little town. They don't know any manners. They don't have any manners. And not everybody now, but a lot of people, when you get in some of these small places, they don't know how to act socially. They are socially delinquent. And you get them out somewhere else in a big city and where things are going on and so forth, and they'd be like a duck out of water. Don't know how to act, you know, and so forth. But anyway, we find out this judgment is for the lost. It is for the lost. Now, we find the books are going to be open, and here we go. Let's examine these books now, because first of all, let's go back. Hold your place here, and you might want to write some of these scriptures down. Let's go back here to the book of Daniel, because Daniel talks about when Christ comes back, the books are going to be open here, and they're going to be judged. Go back with me to Daniel chapter 7, and notice here in verse 9 and 10. Here it talks about Jesus Christ coming back. It says, "And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did set," that's Christ, "whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, that's a million, ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000, that's 100 million, were set, and the books were opened." I'd like for you, while we're in the book of Revelation here, go back with me to chapter 3 and verse 5, the book of life. Now, there are two books that the lost are going to be judged out of. Number one is the book of life. When God created this world, every name of every human being that was ever created is put in the Lamb's book of life. If you're lost and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you have a head start. You're the only one that can take your name out of the Lamb's book of life. Go back with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. "Now he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." This is where the names are recorded of every human being from the time of creation. And when you die without accepting Jesus Christ, your name is blotted out, and that's what God says. But if you overcome, and if you want to know what that is, go to 1 John. Who is he that overcometh but he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ? That's how you overcome, not by striving to overcome some particular sin, but you overcome by faith in Christ that he overcame Satan, death, hell, everything when he was raised from the dead, showing he was the perfect Son of God, absolutely sinless, paid for every sin that had ever been committed on this earth. So he was raised from the dead. He overcame everything. And when your faith is in him, you become his child. You're an overcomer too, because you are in Christ Jesus. You see, in John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, with that in mind there, go back with me to the Old Testament, has something to say about this. When we trust Christ as our Savior, our name will never be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Go back with me now, and we go on back here to the book of Psalms. Go back here to Psalms chapter 69. Okay, clear back in the Old Testament here, back to the book of Psalms here in chapter 69. Okay, Psalms chapter 69. And while you're turning there, let's notice here, Psalm 69. We'll begin here in verse 22 and 28. In verses 22 to 28, it talks about the wicked now. And then it gives the end down here and shows that their name will be blotted out. Let their eyes be darkened. Let's begin here in verse 22. Let their table become a snare before them, and that they should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thy indignation upon them, speaking about the Lord, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them, and let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come unto thy righteousness. Get this now in verse 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. You can't blot it out if you has it's not already written in. Yes, God has put every name in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're lost, you're an atheist, an agnostic, maybe you swear, cuss, drink, get drunk, and commit every immoral act possible. Yes, God still loves you. And your name is still, as long as you're living on this earth, your name is still in the Lamb's Book of Life. God's given you a head start. You're the only one that can send yourself to hell. You say, and you hear people that are, and it's actually, truthfully, I hate to say this, absolutely stupid for a person to say, God wouldn't send them to hell. Well, God doesn't send them to hell. You send yourself to hell. God has provided the gift. He has provided the payment. He has paid for your sins. And it takes a person who is so steeped in self-righteousness, so steeped in pride, that you will not admit that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. God says, you know what? I have no choice but to give you your own will. If you reject me, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God says, for by grace are you saved, that's saved from hell, saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But no, you boast about how big shot you are in the community, how much beer you can drink, and how what a tough guy and a macho man you are, and everything like that. But the day's coming when you're going to be a wimp. And all of that's going to be ended when you stand shaking in your boots, face to face with your Creator and the one who loved you and paid for your sin. No, you chose to go to hell. God tearfully is giving you your own choice. Don't blame God for sending you to hell, because God has paid your price for sin. You go to hell with your sin paid for, but through your pride and your self-righteousness and your big shot attitude. No, you didn't want anything to do with Christianity because you just wanted to be alone with the boys. You want to sit at the filling station or the drugstore or wherever it might be, or the pizza parlor, you know, and you are the big shot. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, count your days, friend, because when they're over, so are you. There will be no big shots in hell. You'll be like the man in Luke chapter 16. He lifted up his eyes in hell being in torment, and he said, please get a drop of water and wet my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. What a devastating time that will be. But your name now is in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're the only one who can take it out. I like for you to go back, because we're going to look at a few of these other places here. Go back with me to the book of Exodus, clear back here. After they had built the golden calf, and Moses had been up on the mountain, Aaron had had the leadership there, built the golden calf, and Moses came down, and he was greatly disturbed. But let's pick it up in verse 31. And Moses returned unto the Lord, and he said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. And notice in verse 32, Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. In order to blot it out, it has to be written in. Now that's sort of interesting here, because let's go on and look at something else here. You say, at this judgment, since we're judged by our works, now this is not us as a Christian now, this is the lost who have rejected Christ for the degrees of punishment they're going to get. I'd like for you to go with me to over here, if you will, to Matthew chapter 23, and notice here in verse 14. Matthew in chapter 23 here in verse 14. Some of those that's going to receive the greater punishment and the greater damnation are going to be some of your pastors. They're going to be some of your priests. They're going to be some of your rabbis. They're going to be some of your men all dressed up to look holier than thou, and yet they're phonier than a $3 bill. You ought to take time, if you're listening to this broadcast, and read Matthew chapter 23. They're in the ministry because of the pride. They love for you to come to them, and they love to be able to tell you, I can forgive your sins. They just give you the biggest lie right out of hell. Said, well, you know, now let me sprinkle a little water on you and put a wafer in your mouth and put a little cup of wine and send you out the door. You're going to be all right, fella. And you think you're going to heaven because the preacher likes you. Well, whether the preacher likes you or not, or you like him or not, has nothing to do with you going to heaven. He may think you're a wonderful person. He may give you special privileges. He may speak to you more than he does anybody else. But until you're saved and born again, you're on your way to hell. Doesn't matter how many preachers like you. That isn't going to get you to heaven. Doesn't matter who you're on the end with. It doesn't matter who you have favor with or one thing or another, who thinks of you. It'll play on your pride. It surely will do that. Yes, it'll give you a big boost of your ego, but it'll boost you right into hell is what it'll do. In other words, it'll boost you so far from reality that you're a sinner just like everybody else, and that's what God says you are, just like I am, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It'll blind your eyes to the truth that Jesus Christ died on that cross to pay for your sins. But those in the ministry, and those that have in the ministry for a pretense, God is going to give the greater damnation. Notice in verse 14, Woe unto you, scribes, and you Pharisees, and you hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayer. You get up in front of the congregation, you pray a nice, big, long, fancy prayer. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we're here gathered here today in the name of our wonderful Savior, Lord, Creator of this universe, and all that rumbo-jumbo. And they'll go on and on and on and on. You see. Oh, you think they are just holier than thou, and they would do anything, you know. Yes, well, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Notice what God says. Let's read it one more time. Woe unto you, scribes, and you Pharisees, and you hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation. Yes, those lost preachers that have preached a phony message and a damnable message are going to be standing at the great white throne judgment. If you're lost and you go to a modernistic church and you've never been born again, you've never heard that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, but you've been baptized so many times the frogs know your social security number and you think that's going to get you to heaven, you'll be at the great white throne judgment and you'll see the preacher there standing too that's deceived you, and you both will be shaking in your shoes wondering, where in the world did I go wrong? You went wrong in listening to the preacher instead of studying your Bible. That's where you went wrong. You went wrong in your pride thinking you're some big shot in town when you're nothing but a wimp. And now you come down to the total reality here and accept of accepting God's love, and He loved you so much. And you know what? You hated every preacher that told you you needed to be saved. You needed Jesus Christ, but you hated that preacher more than anything else in the world. And in reality now, you're at the great white throne judgment, one step away from hearing God say, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And you're about to plunge right straight into hell, and you're going to be there for 10 trillion years. You never have a chance to get out. And the best friend you had was a Bible-teaching preacher that tried to tell you your only way to heaven is Jesus Christ. But you chose popularity. You chose popularity over Christ. What a sad demise that you're standing to face. I'd like for you to look at another verse. if you'll take time to do this. Go back with me here to the book of Malachi, because he has a book of remembrance for the saved also. Go back in the Old Testament to the book of Malachi, if you will, with me, in chapter 3, in verse 16. Notice what it says. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Back with me to Revelation chapter 20. All right? Let's go back here to Revelation now in chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, we have the two books opened here, and we're going to find out there's a resurrection of the lost back here. Even the man in Luke chapter 16 in hell, he's going to have a brand new body, I'd like for you to notice. And we'll pick it up here in verse 12. Saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. That is where your name is. You may use God's name in vain. Your name is still in the Lamb's book of life. It'll be there till you die. And then it'll be blotted out because you wanted it blotted out. You did not want Christ. You didn't want to accept him. You didn't want anything to do with him. You thought Christianity was just some kind of big fad or something there. And you wanted to live your life just for you. You wanted everything you wanted. You cared about nobody else. And this was your life. This was all of your life. And you wanted to live your life of those that indulged in the same sins as you did. That's where your company was. That's where your friendship was. And the people who wanted to be your friends, you didn't want to have anything to do with. You died. Now you're at the great white throne judgment. Your name was blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. Now, the book of life here, when you stand there and the Lord calls your name, whether it be Jim, Sam, Mary, whoever it might be, and calls your name, and you step forward and you step right in front of Jesus Christ. And you see all of the angels around and all of the glory of heaven there. And there you are. You take a glimpse over to your right maybe, and there's souls in hell over there screaming and yelling, total darkness. And you look over there, you can hear them, but you can't see them. And they're screaming and yelling in a horrible place over there, tormented. Don't come here, don't come here. We made a mistake. We're sorry. We believe now, but we believe too late. And you know that your number is up because you're going to be one of them in about 2 seconds. And you try everything you can. Is there any attorneys around? Can I get me an attorney to plead my case? Surely I want a jury trial. There's got to be a jury trial. And everything that you pulled off in your lifetime. Maybe you went before a jury trial and used all your charisma and you wooed the jury and you got off on something you should never have got off on. Maybe you've stolen this and stolen that and you've lied about this and lied about that and you've lied about other people and lied here and you're a real popular old boy in town, aren't you? But God has everything written in that book. Yes, preacher came around. You laughed at him, too. He was the joke of the town, too. You didn't want anything to do with him, you know. He's sort of weird or something, you know. And in reality, you're the weird one, not him. And now you find that out. It becomes reality because there is a payday someday. And you say, no, 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 I believe. No, no, you didn't believe. No, you didn't believe. Do you remember? You remember that preacher that tried to witness to you? You didn't want anything to do with him. Remember that? Then you sit down at the coffee shop and you talked about him and you made fun of him and you told lies about him and you did this and one thing or another because you're the hot shot of the town. Now you're standing there in front of Jesus Christ and you're shaking in your shoes. But you, prior to this, you convinced yourself it would never happen. The Bible wasn't true, but it is true. And here you are, face to face with Jesus Christ. The Lord opens the book and says, sir, let me tell you about your life here. Now, I'm going to open the first book because when you died, it was on this particular date. See, I have it written down here. I got the date that you was born. I know your birth certificate. I've got everything that transpired in your life. There were many other Christians. When you were a little boy in Sunday school class, Sunday school teacher tried to tell you that Jesus Christ loved you and died for you, but you know, you were just too wild then too, and didn't pay attention to it, didn't make any sense to you. Then we have some other preachers, maybe just another Christian that you worked with at work, and he tried to witness to you, or she tried to witness to you, but you didn't pay attention to that. You just threw that off, you know. That's better to be popular, you know. Sure. Well, I think you change your tune now. And the Lord says, sir, I've got everything written down here. Here's some good things you did in your life, but your name was blotted out when you died, and you had this many, many opportunities to accept Jesus Christ. Here was one of my servants over here. Here was a preacher over here. Here was a Christian over here tried to witness to you. But the only thing you did was just put them down. When you died, I had to take your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life because you never accepted the payment that God made when he sent Jesus Christ and his blood shed on Calvary. You rejected it all of your life, sir. You are justified in going to hell. And then the degrees of punishment. We're going to open the other books because I want to put down everything and I want to reveal them to you, sir, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong. Here's all the things you ever did in your life. Here's some things nobody knew that you did, or they probably never would have associated with you. Well, that could be true of all of us, I suppose. But I thank God that I'm saved. But this person's not saved now. And then the Lord looks at him and says, sir, I loved you so much. I died for you. I've sent preachers to you. I've sent Christians to you. I've did everything I possibly could. And you know what you did? You run from them. You went to a modernistic church where the preacher said, we're going to sprinkle a little water on you, son. You're going to be all right. And you're going to be popular in the community now because that's the downtown church, you see. And here you stand, no attorneys. There's nobody to defend your case because there is no defense against truth. And Jesus Christ is truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. That is truth, and you're going to find out that was truth. That's what some other Christians tried to tell you. That's what the pastor tried to tell you. But you didn't want anything to do with it. Popularity over Christ. And then you stand there, and you wonder, what in the world? How can I get out of this? I don't want to go to that place. And the Lord pronounces a sentence, says, sir, look at me in the face. I loved you, I died for you, I gave my life to save yours, and you did nothing but spit in my face. I sorrowfully, tearfully, because I'm God Almighty, absolute, righteous, and truly, and holy, and I cannot allow sin to go to heaven. Sin must be paid for. I left heaven and did it for you, but you rejected me. Now, sir, I have no choice but to give you what you wanted. Depart from me, you're cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This is the great white throne judgment, friend. Our time's gone. May I say this to you? If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope that you'll do that right now so you don't stand at this great white throne judgment. I hope that you'll realize that your life's important. God loves you and he died for you. He paid for your sins. And if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Been so good to be with you. We hope you'll join in with us next week. Take time to write us. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so come, Lord Jesus.